I rounded the corner and looked inside the barn. The yellow Dodge Charger sat parked at the far end of the barn, its hood poking out open bay doors. A black racing stripe ran from the rear to the hood, matching the black spoiler on the trunk. Chrome exhaust pipes peeked from under the chassis, matching the glint of the 18-inch polished wheels. Dad was yelling something, but his words became lost in the guttural growl of the Hemi's 425 horsepower, 6.1-liter engine. The driver shut off the engine and stepped out. For an instance, I saw a blur of denim jeans and a checkered shirt in the barn shadows. The driver slammed the car door shut and hurried around the corner of the barn and out of sight. I realized the car appeared similar, if not identical, to the one that had passed us coming up the mountain, the one Mom said was driving too fast. Wandering over to the charger, I listened to the pinging sound of the cooling engine and inhaled the smell of exhaust. Mom called, "Nick, we're waiting!" Shoving my hands in pockets, I turned and started out of the barn, then stopped. Crimson drops splattered the sawdust next to my sneaker. Looking up, I saw a smear of red on the rafters. Drip, drip, splat. Elongated drops quivered like dripping paint, then fell, turning the beige sawdust a silky brown. "Nick, the stagecoach is here! You coming or not?" Ignoring Mom's shrill call, I bolted up the stairs, reaching the loft just as Dad laid on the horn. Among the bales of hay, a young cowboy lay with his curled fingers resting on his chest, as if trying to plug the hole below his left breast. An expanding stain of crimson was slowly turning the young cowboy's white shirt darkish brown. The gunshot wound appeared to be fresh. It bubbled like one of the gurgling geysers we had passed on our way through Yellowstone, though with each small eruption, it burped less. With the toe of my sneaker, I nudged his scuffed cowboy boot, half expecting the body to sit up, grin a syrupy red smile, and spit away plastic caps. "This is a real reenactment old Wild West ghost town," claimed the brochure Mom had tossed into the back seat for Wendy and me, "with real gunfights and bank robberies and stagecoach holdups." I bumped the bleeding cowboy again, and he didn't move. Here's the one thing about death that my parents don't get. Once you lose a couple of friends like I have, you become sort of numb to it. Like the first time, when my friend Teddy Graham got tossed from his mom's car, a bunch of us lit candles along the front walk of our school. I was pretty torn up about it, but I didn't show it. Then, a few weeks later, a boy in my biology class smashed into a tree while snowboarding and died of brain injuries. By the time spring rolled around, I'd lost two more classmates to a mass shooting, but by then, I just felt numb, like there was a big scab over my heart. That's what I was thinking as I looked at that cowboy, that I shouldn't have been more bothered by the sight of the body than I was. A whirring noise caught my attention. Stepping past the bales of hay, I saw a video of a grizzled gunslinger projected on the far wall. He stood with hands by his sides, right palm hovering on the hilt of a revolver. A wide brim hat cast a shadow over his dark eyes. With his sun-browned face and thick black sideburns, he looked as real as the body behind me. It was obvious the video had been filmed in town. I recognized the saloon in the background. Slowly, the cowboy tilted his head and stared at me, as if tracking my movements, making it feel as though he was with me in the loft. His hands hovered over the holstered guns, fingers twitching the way I'd seen in Dad's collection of spaghetti Western movies. All that was missing was the hokey soundtrack. In a blur, he drew and fired, and vanished. The projector cycled off, leaving me alone in the loft with the real, at least he looked real, dead cowboy. A horn honked and honked and kept honking like someone blasting an air horn at a Chiefs game. It was Dad's signal that he was tired of waiting. I took a final glance at the dead cowboy's fixed eyes and bloody shirt and hurried out of the barn, certain of only one thing. This was going to be the best summer vacation ever.